this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Hey, listen to this Halloween story from Quebec City up there in Canada. Apparently, some trick-or-treaters received an unintended Halloween trick. Some kids went trick-or-treating into a grocery store there, but they didn't leave with candy. Instead, they left with prescription drugs. Apparently, according to the constable there, that's a type of police person, they claim that a customer had ordered some prescription bipolar meds for her son at the store's pharmacy counter and then accidentally dropped it on the way out. Another client found the medication on the floor and put it up on the counter next to a candy basket for the kids. So they say, quote, unfortunately, we don't know how, but an employee just mixed it in with the candy by accident and distributed it to the kids, end quote. Fortunately, it was only 7 pills, each wrapped in an individual blister package given out there to the kids. Police said the pills aren't that dangerous, but if ingested, they could produce some minor side effects such as trembling, nausea, and drowsiness. I tell you, you just never know what your kid is going to end up with on Halloween night. I even heard that, yes, once again, some sickos have been sticking needles and stuff like that in candy as well. But I tell you what, this particular story could have had a much worse ending. Well, look, folks, thanks for joining us tonight. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. I am founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations, and my producer and engineer is Mr. Sam the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
Hey, sir. How are you doing? You know, I read some of those things about Halloween, too, about the syringes and apples, and they were all out of Puerto Rico for some reason.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, you were there then, right? But you're not there. You're not there now.
You know, it's funny. People don't realize probably this is our first Speaking of Strange since Halloween, and that's because, you know, I did Halloween in Puerto Rico, And then practically the next day, I jumped on an airplane and headed to Texas, where I've been ever since. I'm going to be here for the rest of the month. For one thing, my in-laws are here, so we've been visiting them. But also, one of the publicists for my book, Use the Force, is in Houston. And, of course, we're doing a big push of that book heading up to the release of the movie, the new Star Wars film there on December 18th. But anyway, I spent my Halloween in Puerto Rico, and you know what? I am now 39 years old, and that is the first Halloween I have ever spent anywhere other than Asheville, North Carolina, in my entire life.
Really?
And I wasn't sure.
All those years you've been in Puerto Rico, you've never spent a Halloween down there?
Nope. I've always come to Asheville for Halloween time because, you know, I've been doing events and tours. And I must be honest with you, a lot of people were kind of upset that I wasn't around this year. They just thought, you know, it was unheard of. But I did something different, and Puerto Rico became just, I'm talking about, one of the biggest, craziest, most creative, wild parties I've ever seen. I wasn't sure how much people were going to get into it there, but they put on some of the wildest outfits and really went way beyond. I mean, it's like, for example, as soon as the sun went down, I heard all the thousands of people, you know, outside. I heard their voices, people mulling in. They were closing off the streets. So I go walking out of my condo, and I start walking toward the Poblado, which is the little downtown area. And the first thing I see when I step out the door is a black horse with a skeleton sort of a pattern painted on it, and the horse is topped by a headless horseman, okay? And this is a real horse with a real headless horseman on it riding around outside my condo. I was like, oh boy, this is going to be good. And from there, as Warren and I walked around, it was just crazier and crazier. I shot video. I'm going to have to post this video somewhere and show you what some of this looked like. But it was just an awesome experience. I loved it. So it was a lot of fun for me. But, you know, I'm fortunate that the two places that I really love, Asheville and Puerto Rico, both really do up Halloween. And I bet you, what's that?
I said, you see a headless horseman on a black horse. I saw a little chubby kid dressed up as the guy from State Farm. He's like, I'm wearing khakis. Yeah, that's all I saw. So a little
really?
Bit, yeah, a little less exciting down south, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I get the feeling that somebody who probably had an exciting Halloween experience is investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. Shelley, what was your Halloween like?
Oh, it was wild. It was fun. I can't really talk about it because, well, you know, you don't want to incriminate anybody.
The cases are still pending.
The cases are still pending.
You participated in a Romanesque orgy. Is that what you're saying?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
No, that was probably Sam. Actually, Sam, you know what? Wait a second. No, I take that back. You were with the State Farm kid.
He needed a chaperone.
So, Sam, now, you know, again, I'm here in Texas, and I'm actually in a very creepy position right now, which I'm going to explain, which I'm going to explain more about on the program tonight. Hour number two, I had to sort of struggle with whether or not I was going to tell everybody about what I'm up to here because I'm doing an experiment, and I've decided I'm going to go ahead and give people who listen to Speaking of Strange a little bit of a surprise. They're going to get some advance info on what I'm up to. But what I want to say, Sam, is you have also been doing some traveling, and I haven't gotten much of an update. Anything exciting in your travels?
Well, I've got several things that we can talk about off air.
Okay.
But as far as the overall travel itinerary, drove to Charleston, took the yacht down to Fort Lauderdale on the last leg of its journey from New York all the way down to its winter home in Fort Lauderdale. For the record, not mine. I wish it was, but I'm lucky enough to get to be a mate, and I'm learning, you know, all the ship jargon. I don't understand that you just can't say, hey, toss me the rope on the left side. There's none of that. It's, you know, your port and your starboards and your bows and your sterns and your different knots. I learned what a transom is. So Yeah, I mean, a lot of long days, 13, 14 hours at sea. You know, that's a long time. And you'd think you'd see a lot more stuff. You're like out in the ocean, you're there for 14 hours. You think like you'd see something. Not so much. There's like it's hour after hour after hour of nothing. Nothing on the radar. No animals. No, just nothing, except the hum of that engine. And you know, it's kind of boring after a while.
Yeah, it makes you re-examine what the old explorers were really experiencing.
Oh my goodness, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. You know, I think those kinds of things, they help one gain a clearer perspective on life and what this is really all about.
Well, if nothing else, just for the scope of things. You know, it's like we were on this little stretch of ocean. And you know, at the farthest out, maybe, 20 miles, 25 miles out, not terribly far off the coast. But, that's a lot of water, and like you start thinking about what's underneath that. Entire worlds under that ocean, right near you, as we got down to Fort Lauderdale, not too far from Puerto Rico. And I mean, that's like, the deepest part of the Atlantic Ocean is right there,
What's funny is if you go right off the coast, I mean, just a few miles off the coast of Puerto Rico, you have the Puerto Rico Trench, and that is the deepest point in the Atlantic. Like, it's the second deepest point in the world.
Like 15,000 plus feet, something like that?
Oh, it's almost 30,000
feet. Is it really?
It is. So you could almost take Mount Everest and put the entire mountain under the water. And so you're right. I mean, when you're just floating on the surface of that, it's funny that you bring this up also, Sam, because when we come back from our break here, one of the stories that I want to get into, it really relates to this. Here's one of the headlines: Mystery Glow Over the Pacific Ocean. Pilots left baffled by strange orange and red lights spotted in the dead of night. Some people are seeing this and they're wondering, is this an underwater volcano? All right. And I read that and I thought, man, what a wild thing to see an underwater volcano. You would not be expecting that. That would be crazy. But no, it gets much more bizarre than that. So we're going to dig into that.
I mean, isn't that how Hawaii was formed?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But you don't think about just like, taking a walk on the beach one night and looking down and saying, holy cow, what is that?
And even closer to you in Puerto Rico, you have those underwater, like, massive sulfur, deposits, like it looks like huge craters of sulfur, and that's what releases a lot of that gas, which is one of the theories in the Bermuda Triangle, is it not?
Well, definitely if pockets of methane are released, then it can cause a loss in buoyancy, and it can also create a malfunction in a plane's engine. But geologists claim that there is absolutely no evidence that any methane has been released in that part of the world for at least 15,000 years. So, and again, that's what the geologists say. So that's one of the problems with that as an explanation. But, okay, we're going to take our break here. And when we come back, we're also going to talk about this incredible amount of activity people have been seeing in the skies. I mean, almost like the sky is falling. That object I was telling you about, Object WTF, it crashed, but boy, it was not the only one lighting up the night sky. What's going on here? Some people think the sky is falling. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and we'll be right back.
My hands are clean, my heart is so pure, my world is sick, I am the cure.
Search engine need a tune-up. Soon as they out the gate, they all wanna hit a corner. But that was cool, but now. then I heard a rumor, your crew was riding for the White Cliffs of Dover, well, let me tell you how we do it in California. We'll have you on the run just like a puma. If it don't move us, ain't paid your dues and it ain't gon' get our groovers on. We lose you to the consumer solution. Come on, it's a wonderful night, gotta take it from me. It's a wonderful night, it's a wonderful night, you gotta shake it for me. It's a wonderful night, girl, I want it, you got it, your body's like a narcotic, the thought is autoerotic.
Come on and break it on now.
Can I get it on credit against your brick house? I bet it, take it as far as you let it.
Come on and break it on now.
Let the spot'll get hot, that is ready to pop. Don't even look at the clock, all of your problems forgotten. It's time to rock till you drop. Build a force and just fly to the epicenter of the party's bass tremors. Come on. It's a wonderful night, I can take it from you. It's a wonderful night, it's a wonderful night, you gotta shake it for me. It's a wonderful night.
Yeah, broadcasting tonight from the Lone Star State, San Antonio, Texas. Remember the Alamo? And hosting here now, yet broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. Well, I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and this is Speaking of Strange. And remember, folks, I am honestly way, way out in the country here. I'm actually about a 45-minute drive from San Antonio out on a ranch. And so we're hoping that my technicality is going to be okay. Do I sound all right, Sam?
Right now, a few seconds into that, yeah, I mean, we're sounding okay. We'll see.
Okay. We'll see. Yeah. You know, folks, that's the price one pays when you travel around and use our modern technology to broadcast from so many different places, often exotic ones. Welcome back to the program, and tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And I hope you'll call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. They're right there in Asheville, 828-298-5402. Before we get into some of this weird news, there is something that I would like to say. This has been, I think, a rough month so far for a lot of people. I know a lot of people who are having surgeries and people who are having, well, a variety of problems. No need to dwell on that. But I just wanted to say that this month began with the death of my grandfather. This was my father's father, and his name was Frank Warren. And he was in his 90s. And, you know, I want to tell you a few things about my grandfather. We called him Pawpaw. When he was 18 years old, he was drafted into World War II. And by then, he was already married to my grandmother, Juanita. And they already had kids and everything. They got started very early. And so the next thing you knew, he was forced to go off to France and Germany and was a foot soldier for 4 or 5 years, I guess, there. And when he came back from that war, he definitely was a very changed man. As a matter of fact, throughout the rest of life, I would consider him to be an unhappy guy in many ways. He was very much haunted by his experiences there. And, he went on to lead a productive life and to have more children, including my father. But my father, Danny, he always told me, he says, you know, Pawpaw will not talk about what happened to him in World War II. So, my grandfather, he would never watch World War II movies. If something came on the TV that was reminiscent, he would turn it to a different channel. He just never wanted to talk about that. And my father never heard exactly what happened to him. Well, several years ago, on Veterans Day, I decided to go over and spend an evening by myself with my grandparents, and I'm very glad I did that. And the three of us sat around, myself with my grandmother and my grandfather, and we had an evening full of very rich conversation. And at one point in the evening, I asked my grandfather, what was it like to fight in World War II. And to my surprise, and I could even tell to my grandmother's surprise, he opened up and he started talking about what happened to him. And it didn't take very long before he broke down and was in tears. He talked about some of the graphically horrible things that he had to experience and what he saw, and I don't want to go into those kinds of details. But I think it was a cathartic thing for him to get some of this off of his chest. And you know what? Not long after that, he had his first stroke. And after that, I think it was much harder for him to communicate. And so this was one of the last opportunities he had to really get a lot off of his chest. And I bring this up because I think that in some ways, what he went through as a young man being drafted into that war, in some ways, it really damaged him for life. I don't want to say it ruined his life, but it sure did make his life a much unhappier place. And we don't like to get into dreary topics too much on this show, but obviously right now, people are they're thinking about this kind of stuff. We see what happened in Paris. And when you turn on the news and it's just inundated with one negative story after another, it's very easy for you to start adopting this mindset that we're going to hell in a handbasket. And war is such a horrible thing that it's easy to let it occupy a lot of your mind when you watch and listen to the media all the time. And you see how this can destroy lives. Well, here's what I want to reiterate to all of you, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I want you to stop for a moment and remember the fact is that 300 years ago in this country, we were torturing and executing women and men for supposedly being witches, okay? 150 years ago, we had slaves. It was legal to have a slave in this country. 100 years ago, women could not vote here. 50 years ago, racial segregation was still permitted. The point is, we are, believe it or not, slowly but surely getting better. Things are getting better. They're better now than they've ever been throughout all of history. You now live better than kings and queens did 100 years ago. I mean, think about how nice it is to have air conditioning and climate control, or to have the medicines that we have to make us feel better, or to have all the food selection that we have. I could go on and on and on. Cars, airplanes, we have so much to be grateful for and to be thankful for. And this may be our last show before Thanksgiving. And so that's what I hope that you will focus on for your Thanksgiving. I hope that you will take a realistic point of view about how fortunate that all of us are to be living on the planet right now, as opposed to all of these periods in the past historically. So, you know, keep what I've said there in your heart, if that means something to you as you sit down at that Thanksgiving dinner and you remember to focus on all the things that you should be grateful for, because it doesn't last forever. And that said, Pawpaw, I hope you can now finally rest in peace. So, Sam, do you or Shelley have any Thanksgiving thoughts before we move on to our weird news stories?
No, just that I typically like Thanksgiving quite a bit. You know, I'm always in a perpetual quest to try to be more grateful, you know. So, I like things where you don't have to give people presents and all that. You just eat around a table together and try not to, you know, wallow. So, yeah, that's about it.
I agree. It's nice to not, you know, take the superficial part of giving gifts and all that out and just sit down and break bread together. Shelley, do you have any Thanksgiving wishes or thoughts for our audience?
I'm looking forward to spending Thanksgiving with my family, my whole family. My brother is cooking a turkey. That is his new job because he is so good at it. And it's just going to be nice to hang out with everybody. And that's what I'm thankful for, time with my family.
You know, it's funny because people like ourselves, we're really lucky because we get to sit down with a family and there's this giant feast there. But listen to this story that comes out of Chicago. This is from The Smoking Gun. Apparently, if you go to Denny's now, they have a $4 all-you-can-eat pancake. And so yeah, now you're just like, screw the show.
Yeah. I passed Denny's on the way home.
Yeah. And however, a 27-year-old woman is now facing some assault charges and property damage charges after she became unhinged when a Denny's waitress explained that she was not allowed to share her $4 all-you-can-eat pancake with her friends. Okay? We'll take a break. When we come back, I'll finish up this story, and wait till you see how out of control this situation got. And then we will get into, yes, all of the weird phenomena. The sky seems to be falling sometimes. I mean, you look up and, well, yeah, there are things that are, they're coming down from outer space. This is the program where the unusual becomes usual. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. It's brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. The unusual becomes usual, and I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. I'm joining you tonight from a big old ranch out here outside of San Antonio, Texas, and I'm actually in a pretty spooky environment right now, which is one thing I'm going to tell you guys about later on in the show, and I just want to make sure you remember now, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, there's a live chat during the show. You can comment and, you know, have your own little side conversations there. There's more information on topics discussed. There's a link to Wright's Coin Shop, of course. And also, you know, Sam reminded me during the break, I have a new book out. I can't even keep up with all the things that are happening right now. I have a novel that just was published. It just was released about a week ago. And I should give you an honest warning. You might be surprised to hear this, but this is an R-rated, hard-boiled, fast-action, crime, thriller, action novel, okay? I think I used the word action twice, and that's good. And basically, it's kind of like a Quentin Tarantino or Robert Rodriguez type of film.
Coen Brothers.
Yeah, Coen Brothers. Actually, I said film there, but the funny thing is I published the book, and already there are some people in Hollywood interested in buying the rights to turn it into a movie. So that was quite a shocker for me. I can't say too much about that right now, but the book is about two delusional conspiracy-fueled guys on a murder spree killing these kind of crazy, larger-than-life drug dealers all over Puerto Rico. And plus, Oh, and by the way, they're on a mission to save an alien being, which is the most intelligent being in the universe. So if that all sounded a little overwhelming, that's okay. It will make perfect sense when you read it. The book is called The Gringo Maniac Murder Spree. And I'll have a link there at speakingofstrange.com where you can check it out. It's ridiculous how inexpensive books are these days. I think you can get the Kindle for like $5, or you can get a paperback for like $9 shipped to you from Amazon.com. So there's no excuse not to get it. And Shelley, you know, I'm not asking for any, flattery, but you've read it already, and you have some pretty nice things to say, don't you?
Oh, my gosh. I wish you could find that email that I sent you. I have had to keep my mouth shut for, what, a year now? I have wanted to tell the entire world about this book because it is so phenomenal and just blood, guts, gore. It's great.
Fully illustrated.
Oh, my gosh. I still remember. I mean, even after a year, I still remember scenes just crystal clear. I love this book. And if you're a fan of, like you watch Rodriguez movies, I like Coen Brothers movies. I mean, this just fits right in. So you say that and you immediately know, oh, okay, this is what I'm in for. It was just, I couldn't put it down. I read it in one day. And I apologized for just gobbling it up because it took you so long to write it, but I just couldn't put it down.
Well, you know, thank you, because, you know, the funny thing is people will listen and they'll say, well, they know each other, they're friends. Of course she's going to say that. But the truth is friends have the potential to be more honest than strangers are. I mean, you
true.
Know how that goes.
Well, like, you know, And we're good enough friends that if it really sucked, I would be saying, you need some work to do on this. But no, it was amazing. And I don't think you even had really to do any kind of editing on it. At least, I mean, to me, it didn't seem like you needed to. It seemed like it was ready to be published right then.
Well, the publisher was fantastic. It's published by Lisa Hagen Books, and Lisa Hagen is also my literary agent in many cases, and she did just a fantastic job getting this thing put together, and the editor had to do very little work. So, you know, I hope it's good, and I hope everybody likes it, but again, it's not for everybody. So it's got foul language. It's got explicit graphic violence.
And what's the bad part?
There's no sex, though, so it's all you Puritans out there can rest easy on that.
Because the other stuff will make up for it.
Okay, let's get back to this story. And by the way, thank you so much, Shelley. I really appreciate that. It's, you know, it's kind of embarrassing to, you know, to just be showered with such praise, but thank you.
Well, you know, if we had been able to dig up that email, I knew that I was going to have to edit a little bit because there was a little bit of blue language in there.
Yes.
But I was so excited when I read it. So, I will be giving out Christmas presents this year of your book because it's so wonderful.
Thank you very much. That is one of the highest compliments. I've heard that a lot of my books are being given out as Christmas presents this year. And, hey, that's the ultimate, you know, that's when you know somebody really likes it. So, okay, Pancake Rage. So before the break, I was explaining in Chicago, a 27-year-old woman went into Denny's, and she bought one of the $4 all-you-can-eat pancake specials. But then a waitress explained that you're not allowed to share that with your friends. And the woman, apparently, she said, hey, it's unlimited. It's none of your business who's eating it. I don't know how many people she had with her, but she had a little party there of people. According to the police, the woman cursed the waitress and then threw several punches at the waitress. It says the blows did not land. And it says then the woman and her party left Denny's without paying their tab, but not before the woman repeatedly kicked a door on the way out. So she's now been arrested, and she's facing, again, assault and property damage charges. All that over pancakes at Denny's.
It seems a little much.
$4.
Waffles at Waffle House, sure.
Pancakes at IHOP, sure. But pancakes at Denny's, come on.
You know, well, you know, I remember when I, before I was of drinking age, and I still like to stay up late at night, you know, I would frequently end up in a Denny's. There wasn't much else to do at sometimes, or certainly to eat if you're going to be up late and you can't go to a bar. And there was always some kind of weird stuff going on late night at a Denny's.
Oh,
and
man,
I guess
yeah.
it's that way everywhere, huh?
Always. Always something weird. And it all, I think it all boils down to moons over my hammy.
It'd be interesting to do a documentary with just people, you know, like past employees of Denny's, and have them tell their stories and reenact it.
Well, show me on the puppet. Show me on the doll.
Okay, so we were talking, I guess, on our last show, our Halloween show, about this object that had been called WTF 1190. Basically, this was some kind of a weird object. Nobody knows what it was that was due to crash on Earth around November the 12th or so. And sure enough, it did fall. And they think that most of it burned up, but nobody knows what that was. But, hey, that is just the tip of the iceberg. There is a whole long list. You know, Mobius, who researches a lot of the stories for this show, you know, he has been emailing me and calling and leaving messages saying, do you realize just how much crap all of a sudden is starting to fall from outer space? I didn't realize this, but he's keeping tabs on this all the time. Let's see here. November 3rd, it says here, orb-like drones crashed to Earth in Turkey and Spain. It says mysterious objects fell from space around the world on November 3rd, and they caused a lot of confusion. Round, hollow objects found in Spain and Turkey have been recovered and handed over to, excuse me, to military authorities. Long streaks of fire were seen in the skies as the objects fell to Earth. They have not been identified yet. November 8th, a mysterious object dropped from the sky onto a village in Spain. Residents are beginning to worry what's going to be next. This time it's a cylindrical metal object weighing around 50 pounds. Then, 5 days earlier, a huge metal ball crashed into a goat farm in the town of Kalispara. Says here, after a farmer reported seeing a mystery orb, the local civilian guard placed the object under lockdown until investigators arrived on the scene. There's testing being done on these things for nuclear, radiological, bacterial, or chemical threats. And you know what? It just goes on and on and on. And granted, now, most of these things that are falling to Earth, they probably just end up in the water. They end up in the ocean somewhere, and we never get a look at them. But so many of these things are falling, whatever they are, that people are getting an opportunity to, you know, see some of these bizarro objects. So I don't know what to make of this. I don't know if some kind of giant spacecraft has exploded, and we weren't told about it. Maybe it was a man-made craft, maybe not. But when we come back from this break, I'm also going to get to this story about a mystery glow over the Pacific Ocean. There's something about this that I find particularly eerie. This is the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You can call them 828-298-5402. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire. My clothes may still be torn and tattered, but in my heart I'd be a king. Your love is all that ever mattered. It's everything. So open your arms and you'll open the door to every treasure that I'm hoping for. Hold me and kiss me and tell me you're mine evermore. Must I forever be a beggar whose golden dreams will not come true? Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up to you.
The 5 minutes of hour number one on tonight. Speaking of strange, right, Sam? This is the end of hour one, huh?
Yes, sir.
Good Lord, it flies by sometimes. Well, you know, don't worry, folks. We still have two more hours of tonight's Speaking of Strange to go. We're very happy that you have decided to spend your evening with us. And again, I'm way out here middle of nowhere by many standards and on a big ranch in Texas. So if we're having, you know, if my voice sounds a little weird once in a while, you know, that's why, you know, we have technological issues getting a signal. But hour number two now, when we come back from our next break, I'm going to tell all of you about an experiment that I've been doing here in Texas. And this is actually something that you can help me with. And I'm going to tell you about something that happened last night that seriously gave me cold chills. I started to say it made my blood run cold. I don't want to go that far, but it was definitely something really unexpected and bizarre. And I wasn't even going to talk about this on the show tonight, but I changed my mind because for one thing, I'm going to be going on Coast to Coast AM next month in December, and I'm going to give a complete report about what I'm doing down here. And I wasn't going to wait until then to just give it all away, but I realized, you know, the people who tune into this show, Speaking of Strange, they deserve some perks once in a while. And so you're going to get a perk tonight. I'm going to give you some advance info on what's going on here just because you listen to this show. And I'm even going to give you an opportunity to help out. So stick around for hour number two if you want to see what the heck I'm talking about. So let's get back to this news story that I brought up earlier. Here's the headline: Mystery Glow Over the Pacific Ocean. Pilots left baffled by strange orange and red lights spotted in the dead of night. It says a pilot and his co-pilot have spotted a mysterious orange and red glow over the Pacific. They were spotted south of the Russian peninsula Kamchatka during the flight of a Boeing 747-8 from Hong Kong to Anchorage, Alaska. It says after the initial vertical lightning bolt, it was thought the phenomenon could have been a thunderstorm, but that was ruled out when none were reported in the area. The predominant theory at the moment is the lights were caused by an underwater volcano. Another explanation is they were caused by lights from fishing boats. Last week, astronaut Reid Reisman was left baffled by a similarly bizarre green furry of lights off the coast of Bangkok. Nobody knows what's going on here. They say here a Dutch pilot explained how that he was on a flight recently spotted this intense flash of light, like a lightning bolt. Basically, what these people are seeing in the Pacific is some kind of a deep red or orangish glow. Okay, they say that there's no way to explain what's going on here conventionally with fishing boats or anything like that. The pilots who saw this glow under the water said the closer we got, the more intense the glow became, illuminating the clouds and sky below us in a scary orange glow. Let me pause for a moment and say, when there is a volcano exploding above water on terra firma, it is not that outrageous to think of weird plasmas and other balls of light being produced. As a matter of fact, I think there is a guy who studied this, these kind of balls of light and weird things seen around volcanoes, and called them gorgons. But if a volcano is exploding under the water, then it should not be creating the conditions above the water that would affect the atmosphere in such a way to create lightning bolts.
I mean, like, what if it wasn't in super deep water? Like, there's a lot of different gases that can, you know, come out of, you know, a volcano, sulfur amongst other things. You don't think that could interact with other things to make a color?
Well, it is possible that it could make a color, but I don't see how that you can necessarily take some of those plasma effects that occur in atmosphere levels and get those same kinds of effects in the atmosphere coming from an underwater volcano. Who knows? Maybe that is the explanation. But right now, people are seeing some very weird things falling from space. Now we have this glow under the water. Makes you think, we got to take a break. Maybe we're moving into a new chapter right now, folks. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.